even in those days, there was great excitement when these schools opened. Henleys were desperate to have schools of their own. The children from Henleys either went to Westbury Park by St Albans Church, which was open in Victorian times, or they went to the school on Horfield Common, which is now the Manor Boys Club by the parish church.
Oh, it was a school. I've looked at that and thought it looks as if it was probably built as a school.
That's right, it was.
So did that close down then when this opened?
Yeah, I don't know exactly when it did close down. But certainly the Henleys children moved on to here, which was interesting. Also, two other things happened with the children from Henleys just before these schools opened. Some of them were in Claremont School, as Derek probably told you, for a short while. And some of them also were in temporary accommodation by Manor Boys School, Manor Boys Club, on Horfield Common. I think there was some sort of temporary accommodation, like a Nissen hut type of thing there. But that was very, very short-lived.
I moved back to Bristol in 98. So I worked for the parent company that used to own the Hippodrome, and they sent us around managing theatres around the country. And I came back to Bristol in 98, and we got married in 2001. And we lived just on Wellington Hill West, or just off Wellington Hill West at that point. And but we made a very conscious decision to sort of move well and truly into the catchment here, so that we could so that Jake could come, because I know, you know, I've got nothing but really good memories of coming here, really. I absolutely loved it.
I think that, you see, they have the house games as well, which you must still have.
Yes.
And then with house teams.
Yes.
And then out of the house teams came picked the actual school teams.
Some of the things that still stand, the Hawks, Kestrels, Eagles and Ravens were still...
Yes, still now here. What did we discover about the Hawks, Kestrels, Eagles and Ravens?
The children in 1952 wanted those teams, so the teachers just let them have them.
I moved, I think...
He was an Eagle.
Yeah.
He changed... Then, they asked a question which Daddy put his hand up. Then he kind of changed to a raven.
Yeah, I don't know why I changed, but I ended up being in Ravens for the majority of the time. I was in Eagles, I think, probably for the first year. I can't remember.
Trying to rebalance it.
Yeah, I think that was because I can always remember the results most weeks where the Kestrels came first.
Mm. Well, I remember when each of our children came here, and I think they were asked if they, you know, did anybody in your family come to this school? Yeah, my father did, and my auntie as well. What houses were they in? And of course, you had to go, crikey, that was years ago.
What were you in?
Eagles.
Who were Eagles? Yeah, I was the Hawks. Yeah. Then Ravens, the last year, or a reshuffle.
Reshuffle. That's quite controversial, reshuffling the teams.
Well, it was, yeah, because I got into trouble, actually. Because I was down to play for the team, the Hawks football team. I went over to Ravens and reshuffle.
When Concord came home, what we had to do was to make sure that we got the whole school out on the field as it was due to come over, because of course it was very low by the time it was coming over Henleys. So my next door neighbour at home in Portishead, we knew that Concord was going to come down the Severn Estuary and swoop into Bristol that way, over the, because it's going to come Severn Estuary, River Avon, over the suspension bridge and round to Pilton that way. So as soon as it came over Portishead, she rang the school. So we had...
You had
spies. So we had about 3 minutes, not very long, 5 minutes at the most, to get everybody out onto the field. So we'd organised all our runners, and so we knew exactly what to happen when we had the... When we got the phone call, we knew exactly what to do, and all the runners went to all the classrooms, and we got the whole school out on the field, ready for Concord to come over. And everybody waved. It was all very sad.
Yeah, it was quite a poignant day.
It was a very poignant day. And we must have had photographs of that too, you know.
Yeah.
Mr. Gosling, who was this chap here, he was a great... He was such a good teacher. He was brilliant. He sort of just knew how to fire people up. I can remember him doing... singing songs at the, you know, songs and dances at the front, you know, to try and get us engaged with things and things like that. He's great, and he did a lot of sports here as well. I can remember him appearing. There's always a teacher's pantomime, and he appeared as one of the ugly sisters in Cinderella one year, and the other ugly sister would have been Mr. White.
So that was a regular feature, was it?
There was a teacher's pantomime. I can remember two or three of those.
Yeah.
I think they pretty much followed the same, you know, land-based pantomime. Yes. Followed the same script every year.
Yeah, and teachers have been very reluctant to follow the suggestion of doing a teacher's pantomime these days. They're not so keen on the idea.
But I don't mind
getting the children to stand up on stage and make fools of themselves.
Of course.
The teachers do the same thing.
So at the end of the year... The Wizard of Oz, I did. Did you? And so at the end of every leaving, so the fourth year, year six, did a big production.
Yeah.
And what did you do?
The Wizard of Oz, I did. And
I did Pinocchio. And it was quite genius, actually. So they used to, which you might still do it now, is... They put the curtains across the dining room and opened up the dining room doors.
Yeah. So
everyone bustled around, and so you'd be going up and down the stairs in your costumes. And I just thought it was amazing that I was part of this huge performance, that no one knew you were coming from behind the curtain and you'd been upstairs.
Yeah. I was a sugar plum fairy on that stage.
Were you?
Yeah.
How lovely.
I know.
Beginning of a beautiful career.
I know. And... I also remember, obviously, that's what everybody said this. This was huge.
Mm.
This was enormous, a big, big place. I remember it. We used to have assemblies here every morning. And we used to, on odd occasion, black and white telly, and there used to be the odd school programme on.
Yes, very BBC Schools.
Schools, and we used to come in and watch the very odd programme in here. And I remember having lunch in here.
We did... Something about the Montgolfier brothers flying the first hot air balloon, and I had a part in that. I was one of the first pilots of the, I can't remember his name, in that. And I can remember we used to have to stand at the front of the stage and sway to pretend we were in a balloon or singing a song. And I thought, I'm going to fall off here in a minute.
Well, the thing is, the stage was actually about the size of a balloon basket. I mean, it wasn't large.
Seemed big at the time.
Remember, it was probably before your time, wasn't it, Jake? Has the hall changed since you've been here? I think you might have done it the summer before you came.
Only putting the stage up and putting the stage down.
Yeah.
That's about all.
My first sports day here, because I was a very competitive person, the staff all glued their blue tack. We didn't have eggs, we had those aerated balls in spoons, and it was the staff egg and spoon race, you know. And these devils had blue tacked their balls, all of them, Martin Dasher, they'd all blue tacked their balls to their spoons, and of course off they went, like bombs, you know. And I'm coming along, mine's off within 2 metres, slowly, and I come in last, because my ball is the only one that's falling off the spoons.
Did that dent your competitive spirit at all?
I don't know, because I didn't see much of them after that, because they all got dismissed. No, in fact, it made it worse. And, of course, what made it worse was that we had Cathy Ellis as the deputy, who was also extremely competitive. Yeah. And more than that, we had Jean Fuchs, who was the epitome of competitiveness. Yeah. And so those two were in themselves were enough to have in the school as competitors, weren't they? Yeah. There was only one place to be, and that was first. You know, everything else went by the board, you know.
What is lovely about the lake, and this is to do with the Olympics, because I know we're still... in a sort of time warp about the Olympics and how exciting it all was. But in the 1948 Olympics, there were Henley's Lake people there helped the Canadian team.
Oh, really?
And they came there for practicing before the Olympics. And as a thank you, after the Olympics, the Canadians returned and, you know, gave them a big thank you. Which was nice. So they staged a diving display that year. Yeah. But it was good. It's nice to know that somewhere in Henley's was responsible for helping in our London Olympics in 1948.
Absolutely. Nice connection.
So I thought that was interesting then, and I thought the children would be interested in that.
Yes. Bristol, they would have gone to Bristol North.
Yeah.
Would you have gone there?
Oh, yes. We had to walk down in a crocodile.
Yeah.
I think the only time in my entire primary school time we used motorised transport was to go to the White Lady Cinema to see the coronation film.
Right.
And there was a string of double-decker buses along here then, which took us all to see that. But everything else was walking, so...
Yeah.
That's different from my time, because we used to have Keir's coaches.
Oh.
They used to take us down to the Bristol North.
Oh, well, that's very upmarket.
Yeah. We had a big thing on the field. We had a bouncy castle. We had all sorts of other things for the children to take part in. And we all had to wear something yellow. And we all went out, the whole school went out on the field in the afternoon, and the children just went from one activity to the next. We had a huge arrangement of activities. And then we bought a whole load of daffodil bulbs, which we planted out the front.
Yes. Yeah.